All right, well, let's see if I still remember how to preach, huh? It's been a while. It's kind of funny because I've been preaching through the book of Acts, as we know, and I hit this three-part sermon series, and so I was starting to shape it out, and we talked about how Paul planted in Ephesus last time around, and we saw that that Paul preaches in Ephesus, and then the people there are very responsive. They're like, yes, we want to hear more. And Paul says, you'll have to wait because God has called me to go on to Syria. And so here I am in the middle of this sermon series, and I'm like, okay, great. I sit down, I write my sermon, the next one, which is Paul waters. So he plants, then he waters. And then next week, we'll talk about how God gives the increase. And right the day after I write this sermon, and I send it off to Scott so he can start setting up a worship service, my daughter decides that that next day is the perfect day to come and join us. And so I've had this sermon prepared for a little while, and hopefully I can still preach it, even though I wrote it over a month ago. But we did see from Paul something that seemed a bit strange, because to me, like I said when I preached it, of course you guys remember from 5 months ago, right? Like naturally you remember all of these sermons and it all sticks and you're telling your friends every detail after, right? I know. I didn't either before I became a preacher. So what Paul was doing seemed a little bit strange to me, because I was always taught when somebody's open to the gospel, you just go for it, right? You dig in, and until they're ready to give their life to Christ. And but there was a time and a purpose where Paul was only meant to, at that point, plant the seed, to lay that foundation. And it was okay that he laid the foundation, because God was going to do other things. We saw that that God had Apollos come through, and we see Priscilla and Aquila there in Ephesus to help establish the church. So Paul wasn't really needed there, and so God moves him on. And so we pick up in Acts chapter 18, verses 21 through 23. It says, "But as he left, he promised, 'I will come back if it is God's will.' Then he set sail from Ephesus, and when he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church and went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples." Now, so we saw that God called Paul away from really establishing the church in Ephesus, and there's a reason why, because God had work for him to do. See, Paul had to water in the places that he had already been. God saw the need for Paul to encourage and establish more movement in the places that he had worked with him before. So our first point today is that Paul waters with encouragement. So we see, as Paul's ending his second missionary journey, the first place he gets to is he goes back to Jerusalem. And this is kind of a big deal, because Jerusalem is where the majority of the apostles still are. The church is growing from there. It's spreading out. Of course, we see the Gentile church begin to grow strong in Antioch of Syria. And, okay, good. Do you want to get a printout for me just in case? So what we see here is we see that that he is moving into these places. See, I really can't preach anymore. We're in trouble. So, but in Jerusalem and Antioch, going back to these places, he's able to encourage them with what's going on. Now, talking to the apostles in particular, the apostles, I don't know if you realize this, but a lot of the places that Paul went and did his missionary journeys were places where the apostles would go later to strengthen the church. Do you realize that the apostle John would end up becoming an elder in Ephesus, the place that Paul is planting the church. We see that Philip ended up in Phrygia, the place we just talked about how Paul has gone to. So what you have to realize is that as Paul is coming back and talking to the apostles, this is kind of like a debrief. He's coming back and saying, here's what God has been doing. Here's how things have been going in these places. He's able to tell them, the kingdom's growing really strong here. We faced a lot of resistance here. But these places are places where God is really moving, and people are really wanting to hear the word. And so we see with him going to Jerusalem that he's watering because they're able to get information that helps them make decisions about how they're going to help strengthen and grow the church. And then going back to Antioch of Syria, you know, this is something that is really, really important for missionaries. How do you guys feel when we have a Mission Sunday? How does a Mission Sunday make you feel?
Good,
encouraged, aware of different things that are going on. I get excited. When Richard was up here talking to us, when he was sharing about what's going on in Venezuela, and we hear about all these bad things, but we know that through Christ Jesus, there is a school in Venezuela that is taking impoverished children off of the street and teaching them the beauty of music, right? And we realize we're told not to be drunk on wine, but to be filled with the Spirit, encouraging one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So this music, these things are things that like really just build up and strengthen people. Have you ever been in a really difficult time and music just was the thing that like snapped you out of it? You just felt that encouragement? Why do you think that Paul and Silas were singing while they were imprisoned, while they were bound and chained and uncomfortable? Because it brings joy. And so knowing that there are people there in Venezuela with all of the chaos and all of the things that are going wrong, we are able to see what God is doing, that he is bringing encouragement to those people there through this music. And I think about Jenny and Emil and the work that they're doing and how they're always coming back and telling us, and we had these baptisms and we've got these kids learning English and they just are on fire for the Lord and the work is moving. And that does something to me. I don't know if it does something to you, but it does something to me when they come back. It strengthens me. It makes me want to double down. When Richard and Jenny and Emil, when they come, I pray harder for them. I go home and I, Lord, thank you for the work that they're doing. Please give them strength to continue. Help them to be who you want them to be. We see that we double down on our giving. We raised $700 for Venezuela because we looked and we were encouraged and we said, yes, let's make this work. Let's help these people. And so Paul is watering for the church in Antioch by being willing to go back and share in what God is doing. And it also was important and powerful because it's good for Paul, right? I mean, honestly, when you're able to come back and you've been struggling really hard and you're having a difficult time or you're just doing the work, right? The work can be straining, can't it? Like when you're out and you're teaching and you're going through daily life, it gets stressful. And just because, you know, somebody's a preacher or a teacher doesn't mean that the burdens of the responsibility of training people and encouraging people are light and easy. You feel a sense of responsibility for the people that you're encouraging. You feel a sense of responsibility to make sure that they have what they need. And so being able to come someplace where you can be nurtured, where people can wrap their arms around you and pray for you and say, wow, thank God for the work that you're doing. Can I pray for you? Let's pray together. Let's talk. Let's share a meal. And have that encouragement being built in. But to me, that's so important for us to understand that while it would have been good for Paul to stay in Ephesus, while it would have been good for him to build upon what he started by sharing the gospel message, these people in Jerusalem, these people in Antioch, they needed to hear the good things that were happening. You know, it's not like it is today. We can jump on Facebook and see how different people are doing in different places, and we can stay connected. For them, having people like Paul come back and say, good news, these wonderful things are happening, was a real, real blessing for them. The second thing that I see is that Paul waters through strengthening. Now, it's interesting to me just how quickly Luke jumps through to get back to Ephesus. Okay? So we see, as we read through the scriptures, that he was going through Antioch and Phrygia and going back through all these places that he had gone on his first two missionary journeys, and it just kind of like zips over. Like, he strengthened them. And I think that's because what is about to happen in Ephesus is something that is very important, but I don't think we need to jump over it. I think we need to stop and pause and realize that he was watering through strengthening them. I want you guys to think back in your Christian walk. Some of yours is newer than others, but for each of us, we can probably think of at least one person that really caused us to jump forward in our faith. Somebody who really took the time to nurture us in our faith, who walked alongside us, encouraged us, helped us to think more deeply about what God was trying, what God is trying to do in us, and to build us up. And I could list off a whole list, but there are a few that just touch me so deeply that I can't help but talk about this and share their names. My Uncle Tom. When I was a teenager, I went to live with my Uncle Tom, and I took a job at a factory where I worked four 12-hour days, and then I had 4 days off. Now, as you can imagine, for a young teenage boy, 4 days off in a row is probably not a good idea. But my uncle would come and knock on the door after a reasonable time where I could get some sleep and go, John, what are you doing today? I don't know. I was going to watch some movies and just kind of hang out, maybe play some video games. Why don't you come with me? Okay, get dressed. My uncle used to take me with him and go do visitations. He's a minister for the Church of Christ, and he would take me, and we would go, we'd go do visitation. Or he'd take me into the church office, and he would say, you know, what does this scripture mean to you, John? I'm going to be preaching about this. What do you think about this? And so he challenged me to take my faith more seriously, to let it be more than just something I did on Sunday, but to realize that the kingdom was important. I think of people like the St. Martins. Dave St. Martin, as last I know, is an elder at the Central Kitsap Church of Christ. But he and his wife, when I was coming back to the Lord in my time in the military, were the ones that helped me understand grace and love and mercy. And they helped me to understand that there's more to God than justice, that he cares deeply and understands we fall short and loves us anyways. They helped me to understand about how to stay out of other people's quarrels. I'd come and, oh, this is going on. Like, just pray for them, John. Pray for them. Don't get involved. Be Christ and pray for them. That's a very powerful lesson. I think of people, I mean, I'm going to run out of time if I keep going through all the people that have deeply touched my life, but our elders here are such a great encouragement to me. They're a great piece of accountability for me and help me to not feel alone in the work that I do. And so we each have these mentors and people that come alongside us, and we need them. We need somebody to help us have perspective. We all have blind spots, don't we? I mean, there are days at the end of the day I look and I think, you know, I can't really think of anything I messed up. I'm sure I did. God gave me a wife. I'm teasing. But, you know, the reality is that we all have those blind spots. And we could think, like, I've got this. You know, I know I'm doing this or this or this. And, like, so I'm on the right path. But we don't see the sin in what we're doing. Or sometimes we even give ourselves, without some sort of accountability, we give ourselves freedom to just look and to think to ourselves, it's really not that bad. Like, there's lots of sins out there, and the one that I'm struggling with right now is really small compared to all of these other ones. And that's why we need people to watch our blind spot. It's football season, right? Everybody football fans? Not everybody. We got some great ones here, though. They canceled our game last night, right? The Huskers got brained out. Anyways, the reason I bring that up is because, you know, when we think of sports and stuff, like in a generic sense, I remember being a kid, and we had two coaches, right? We had the coach, and then we had the assistant coach. And the assistant coach, pretty much all he did was stand around and watch the coach and maybe write down stuff on paper for him. That's my experience with, like, Little League and all of that, right? But when you get to the professional level, do you realize that there are quality assurance coaches? A quality assurance coach walks around the field and watches what's happening at practice. And they look to see, like, what's going on with the offense, what's going on with the defense, and they're able, from an outside perspective, to be able to look and go, this offense is not looking right, and go back to the head coach and say, hey, you know what, this is something you might want to take a look at. Well, why does he need to do that? Don't you have a head coach? Isn't that their job, to walk around from offense to defense to all these different, to special teams, and to figure out those details? They need the quality assurance coach because no matter how good the head coach is, there's always things that they're missing. And that's the truth of everything. That's why there's only one head in the church, amen? That's why Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Because every man has a blind spot. Every person has a weakness. And we need each other to hold each other accountable, to be able to look at and recognize when things are not the way that they need to be. So even our leaders, we need to be holding each other accountable, to recognize and love each other enough to strengthen each other in this way. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Brothers and sisters, we always need someone like that. And that's what Paul was for these churches. He was the one that came in and taught them the gospel. He taught them what it looked like to live like Jesus. He walked alongside of them for whatever time God gave him to walk alongside of them. And so now coming back, here's somebody that can look. And when you see his epistles, we see that Paul was really good at it, wasn't he? He'd come in and say, here's where you've been blessed. Here's where you need work. Here's where I see good things. And was able to help strengthen the churches through those letters. And so this time of being there, of having Paul to be able to sit down and have him talk with the leaders and help encourage people and strengthen the church, was of the utmost value. And finally, Paul waters through instructing. In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, it says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard of that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. You see, what is amazing to me about this is that you have this whole period of time where Paul walks away, where he's planted the seed, the church has been established. And at the right time, God brings him back to water. And I think that's why we see Luke rush from Ephesus back to Ephesus. Because it is so important to realize that God's timing isn't our timing. That there may be, this is likely a very long period of time. It says that he spent a good deal of time in Antioch. He was there with them. It sounds rushed because of everything, but it is a long thought-out process. And so after Paul patiently waits on God's timing and comes back to Ephesus, he's able to come back and to have the opportunity to more fully instruct those who believe there. Now, it's interesting to me that while Priscilla and Aquila were able to correct the thinking for Apollos before he takes off to Corinth, that those believers there in Ephesus hadn't quite gotten the same message. They hadn't come to realize that in order to receive the Holy Spirit, they didn't even know about the Holy Spirit, which is amazing, but in order to receive the Holy Spirit and to be in a right relationship with God, that they needed to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. And so the thing that we have to realize from this as well is that we as human beings have a tendency to just accept what we're told, right? Like if you earn my respect, then my tendency is just to, if you tell me something and you seem educated on the subject, to accept what you're told. And that's what happened to these believers. They had heard the gospel through Apollos or someone like Apollos, and they didn't have the full picture. They didn't have the full understanding of what they needed to do. And we see that this is a common trait among men. The Pharisees missed God's heart because of the rules that they tried to set up to not to break God's rules. We see that the Judaizing teachers missed it because they didn't realize that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law, that he was the completion, and so there was no longer a need for all the ritualistic aspects of Judaism. And I can say for myself, too, that there are many, many times in my life that when I looked back and I said, I'm going to read the Word of God on its own, I'm going to cut out everything I've been told about it, I'm just going to read this passage and see what I get out of it, that I came to understand that things I'd been taught weren't right. You know, that there were things that I said clearly as a young man that were not biblical, that you could not pinpoint in the scripture and say, this is what God has called me to do. And while these believers knew most of the truth about baptism, about the idea of repentance, and while they believed that Jesus Christ truly was the Son of God, they hadn't come to a full understanding of the gospel. They hadn't reached the point yet of what Paul teaches in Romans, that baptism is the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection that we experience in Christ Jesus. That like we see in Ephesus, that this baptism is one. There's one baptism in which we are immersed and in which we receive the Holy Spirit. That they had not come to a full understanding of who Christ was and how to be in a right relationship with him. But at just the right time, even though this is a long period of time later, when the moment was right, Paul is brought back. And so in looking at these passages, we're able to see that through patiently trusting in the Holy Spirit, that there's a time for everything. Paul was used to plant the seed in Ephesus at the right time, and through trusting in the Lord's timing, was able to water the churches in Jerusalem and Antioch through encouragement, the church in Galatia and Phrygia through strengthening them, and finally at the right time to water the church in Ephesus through instruction. In each of our walks, there will be times when God will open up for us the opportunity to plant seeds and the opportunity to water. There's times I miss periods of life where I was just absorbing God. What I mean by that is these times when I had these mentors and I could just soak it in and soak it in. But there comes a time in each of our lives, in each of our walk, and it's not a long period of time for most of us where we have something to share with other people, where we can share our testimony, how we came to know Christ, and how it's changed our lives. But there's a time and a purpose for everything. And when we trust in the Lord, when we give Him our will and say, it's yours, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'll do your will. God will use us to plant the seed, to cause someone to think, maybe I need something more. And there will be times when he'll call us to water. Planting and watering are the things that God gave us to do. But it's the Lord who gives the increase. He's the one that's working in people's hearts. Maybe today he's working in your heart. Maybe today you're looking at your life and you're thinking to yourself, man, I really haven't known Jesus. I haven't walked with him. I haven't had a relationship with him. And maybe you're thinking to yourself today is the day I need to get that right. Today is the day I need that instruction so that I know how to be in a right relationship with him. If that's you today, then I want you to know that that's available. That I will be right here as we sing the song, ready to talk to you, ready to help you understand what you need to do to be in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're looking at your life and you're thinking, man, I've sure taken for granted all the things that Jesus done for me. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't have a heart to plant. I don't have a heart to water. And you want prayer. You want somebody to come alongside you and pray for you that you'll have the strength to be that. I'll be here to do that for you too. But here's the thing. When we become overwhelmed, when we start thinking that the planting's too hard, the watering's too hard, we always have to go back to this one place. We have to go back to Christ because he's the one that gives the increase. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. I thank you for the fact that he trusted enough in you that even when human wisdom might have seemed to say stay in Ephesus, to continue what you have called him to, that he still trusted in you, that you had other things for him to do at the time. And thank you, Lord, for the message of the book of Acts that helps us to realize that your timing isn't always as quick as ours, that just because something takes months or years, that it doesn't mean you're not working, but that you're working towards the right time, towards your purposes. And so, Lord, I just ask you today to give us the strength to be a people that are willing to plant when you call us to plant, to be a people that are willing to water when you give us the responsibility to water. And Lord, help us to find the strength to grow where you have planted us. Lord, I just ask that we will be a people that honor you. I pray this in Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.